Tiny Tales presents Blood Roots.
It was dawn when Helene went to harvest the button tree. In the fog, cattle drifted past like dark ghosts. A thick knit shawl hung around her shoulders against the autumn chill, but the bare fingers clutching her basket still ached. The tree stood at the edge of the meadow. Bunches of chestnut buttons clustered under its leaves. It had sprung up from a button lost from Emile's shirt as he drove the cattle home from the river. The rest of the evening he had worn his heavy wool coat pulled tight, flushing and panting in the late summer heat until Helene had been terrified he'd faint. All so Father wouldn't see the gap in his shirt. The next morning she'd been churning butter when Emile ran home, breathless, and they sprinted across the meadow to see the tree that grew buttons. Emile lifted her onto his shoulders to pick one, and she hurriedly sewed it onto his shirt. Father had never noticed, but even now, Helene felt a strange furtiveness when she picked them. The tree ripened each autumn, like the apples and cabbages, the shape and color of each button slightly different. She chose the sturdiest buttons she could find to replace worn clasps on their clothing, and the rest to sell in the nearby city for a few coppers. Unharvested buttons tumbled into the grass to rot. The rising sun cut through the fog, deepening the shadow of the forest lining the meadow. With a harsh chorus of protest, a flock of crows burst out of the trees. Helene looked up and gasped. A child staggered into the meadow, arms clamped tight against the cold. Drying mud streaked his face and dark hair. He stopped when he saw her, and stared. Children explored the forest, but they never crossed the border of the meadow. Helene and Emile working in the fields were strangers, things to be peered at from under bushes or behind trees. She saw them sometimes, hiding in the obvious way children not yet aware of themselves had. She expected this child to dart away when he saw he was discovered, but he only stood and shivered. "Are you hurt?" Helene called. When he didn't answer, she lifted her hem and waded through the wet grass toward him. Ill-fitting linens clung to him, wet with mud and dew. His bare feet shifted in the cold. "Where did you come from?" she asked, frowning toward the forest. Blue eyes stared up at her, his pale lips trembling in the cold. The meadow was brightening but empty, except for the grazing cattle swishing their tails. No faces peered out of the trees looking for a missing companion or brother. "Come on, then," she said. She wrapped her shawl around the quivering shoulders and guided the child across the meadow. He followed willingly, stumbling in the long grass. The small home where Helene and her brother Emil lived was built of wood and patchy stone. Standing on a swath of roughly shorn grass, where Emil pushed back the meadow with his scythe. A dirt path ran from the door to the back, where a ladder led into the narrow mouth of the damp cellar, and a low outbuilding stood next to the house where they stored grain and tools and the cattle bedded. Helene hurried the child inside ahead of her. Red coals shimmered on the hearth, warming the chill that had settled overnight. She set the basket of buttons on the shelf on the far wall. The child stood where she left him by the door, looking around with vague eyes. His grubby fingers dug into her shawl, holding it tight around him. A hunk of bread left from breakfast sat on the table. Helene took it and bent closer to him. "What's your name?" she coaxed. His blue eyes gazed back at her, expressionless. It made her uncomfortable, the way he stared. "You're shy, then," she said, to break the silence. When she gave him the bread, he took it gingerly from her hand, examining it before gnawing on the staling crust. Mending waited in the corner. And when Emil came back from market, there were the last rows of crops to harvest. But Helene was unwilling to send the child back into the cold, shivering and dirty. Who would let him wander? She thought, indignantly. With such lack of care. At least he could have a warm meal in his belly, and maybe a few of Emil's old clothes tucked away in the attic. She steered the child toward the warm hearth and fetched the bucket of water Emil had brought in for the washing. "How did you get so dirty?" she chided gently, combing dirt from his hair with her fingers. "Were you digging for truffles or burrowing in after them like a little piglet?" She watched in vain for a hint of a smile. He gulped the last of the bread and searched his dirty hands for crumbs. "Off with those muddy things," Helene said, holding out a hand for the shawl. The child stripped to his pale underthings. Helene frowned at his dirty clothes, each piece threadbare and shapeless, not suitable to be worn outside, even in the heat of summer. And underneath he was just as dirty, streaked with black earth. Youth stretched his skin taut over his bones, and he huddled close to the fire. A forgotten child, Helene thought. A child left to wander and make messes as children did, scolded when they were remembered. He hadn't learned yet to be better or be invisible. She plunged a rag into the bucket of water and began to scrub. She had finished his face, rubbing his cheeks red, and was starting on his thin shoulders when the door opened. Emil stopped in the doorway, the basket from carrying apples to the market still strapped to his back. "He was in the pasture," Helene said, rinsing the rag. The water in the bucket had turned a dingy gray. Emil watched them with mellow brown eyes before nodding and shutting the door behind him. The child's teeth chattered. He shivered when drops ran down his back, but he didn't protest. His hand found a hold on Helene's skirt and clung there. "Maybe he isn't shy. Maybe he's frightened." Emil swung the basket down to hang on its hook on the wall, then ducked through the low doorway to their rooms. He returned with a blanket in his hand. "He's thin," Emil said, handing the blanket to her. Helene flung the blanket over her shoulder and turned back to scrubbing the child's arm with grim determination. So were you at his age. She frowned at the stubborn dirt, rubbing at it until she thought she must be hurting him, when she realized she wasn't scrubbing dirt at all, but at a darker mark, one that wouldn't be washed away. A slight crescent, wider at one end, right before the crook of his arm. The rag slipped from her hand. She staggered back, ripping her skirt from the child's grasping fingers. Emil frowned. What's wrong? Helene whirled on him, lightheaded with horror. You said you buried him far enough away! He stared at her, confused, until his eyes found the mark. His mouth moved wordlessly. It's not. But you see it! The mark branded her memory. Worn sleeves pushed past the elbows, wiry arms thick with hair, leaning on the table or sweaty with work. Tanned skin stretched taut. Helene drew in a sharp gasp and tasted black air, a sensation she'd almost forgotten. The child reached for the blanket, but Helene yanked it away. He crouched on the hearth, half washed and shivering. Emil stood a statue, shrinking fear on his face. Helene reached for her shawl, saw the muddy fingerprints, and left it, fleeing into the daylight. Nervous agitation settled in her bones. She paced in the shadow of the outbuilding. The sun flared bright overhead, the brisk air numbing her cheeks. She wanted to forget the child and what he meant, close the door behind her, but a fear crept into her shadow, demanding why she was not at work. Taking her digging fork, she strode to the field to turn potatoes, trying to drive away her thoughts like she drove the fork into the earth. She straightened up, her back wet from labor, when Emil came to join her. She wiped her damp forehead with her sleeve, half hoping he could reassure her, but he only looked at her, silent and sober. Together they filled baskets with dusty potatoes and hauled them to the cellar, rushing with heads bent past the closed door. Sunlight had driven the fog to the edge of the forest, but when it should have burned away, billows came seeking across the meadow again, until by midday, gray mist had gathered around them. A mournful hum floated from the tangled brush lining the field. Long fruit hung from the bare branches. Amid brittle red leaves coating the ground, reed flutes lay broken and rotting. The sound was an incessant itch, a madness that made Helene want to stop her ears. She longed to crush the flutes, rend them into silence. But that was why the bushes had first grown. Emil had come home from the fields to find her trembling, the broken pieces of father's flute in her hands. "I didn't see it," she whispered. She had straightened up from tending the fire when something cracked softly under her heel. The flute rolled away from its place by father's chair. Emil tried to stick it back together with a paste of flour and water, clumsy with anxiety. They jumped at any noise, at the wind pretending to be father back from the market. Remembering the button tree, they had fled to the forest edge. Heads bent together, they crouched and buried the flute, staining their hands with black earth. The rest of the evening they stayed tight-lipped, enduring the poison of father's silent anger. Ignorance was as good as admission. But in the morning, a low bush had grown against the trees. Hollow fruit hung from the branches, each with a slight ridge where the paste had dried. Nauseous with relief, Helene picked one and left it under father's chair where he might find it. They hadn't spoken of it again. Helene hated the flute, hated the same discordant melody that had come uninvited through the wall when she was trying to sleep, over and over until she fisted her hands in the blankets and held back an exhausted wail. When the wind blew right, the bush sighed with a chorus of taunting voices. A distant bell clanged. The cattle, not needing the sun to tell their time, were trudging home across the meadow. Blackness leached into the gray fog until darkness drove Helene and Emile home. She opened the door, hoping it had been a dream, that the child would be gone, terrified of what else she might find. The child was huddled next to the fire, the blanket wrapped around his bony shoulders. Wide blue eyes turned to where they stood, shoulder to shoulder, by the door. "We should at least feed him," Emile said at last, quietly. Helene cooked with nervous, clumsy hands. The child sat mutely by the hearth, his gaze following her. Her offering of food made, she shut her door against his presence to pace the small space and finally collapse under her thin bed. She woke from an uneasy sleep to a knock on her door and lay, breath held, until Emile whispered through the wood, "He's crying." When she cracked the door, a muffled wail floated through the darkness. "Maybe he's cold." Emile's eyes followed the shadows between the beams, and she knew he would find a way to run from this. The same way he'd fled into the fields away from the deathbed, leaving her behind, trapped. No moonlight or starlight shone through the window. The fire had burned to ash. Helene saw the child as a dim figure lying next to the hearth. She hesitated at the edge of the room until a pale, sniffling face turned toward her. Then she gave him an old nightdress from her things. He pushed aside the blanket and shawl he'd pulled over himself and eagerly wriggled into it. "Now hush," she said, her voice harsh with tension, laying another blanket over him. He curled up, the blanket clenched between his teeth to stop his shaking breaths, but Helene refused to see. The mark on father's arm had aged too, turning valleyed and pocked, and with the thought of it came the stink of an aging body and impending death. He had become mindless, piteous, mewling like a babe, squalling in hunger or pain. He had drained the last of his days from her, and her hands shook with hatred as she tended him. But he was too weak and pitiful to hate. He had taken even that from her, and she swallowed her bitter anger. Then one morning, Helene woke and felt the silence changed. Like winter had finally ended and faint green tendrils were uncurling in the dark. She found Emil standing outside the door, looking up at the sky. Father had gone stiff and still. They wrapped the soiled blankets around him. And when Emil lifted him, to carry him across the meadow to be planted where Mother was already rotting away, he looked small as a child. They worked, plowed, toiled the same way they always had, side by side and not speaking, but the air warmed with relief. Now, Father dared to come back, to threaten them with a long life, longer than either of theirs could be. Helene lay on her bed and stared up into darkness until the cattle began to shift and clatter in the outbuilding, demanding to be let out to graze. But morning hadn't come. Mist wrapped darkly around the house, seeping through the cracks. The child, still sitting by the fire, wore his clothes again, stiff with dirt, but dry. Helene recognized them now as the deathbed linens. Her shawl lay in a heap of dirt and ash by the hearth. She wore an older one, too small and stretched to keep her warm. The child eagerly scrambled up when he saw her, crowding against her like a hungry cur as she stirred the ashes to find coals and fixed a meager porridge. He crawled against her for warmth, his icy hands slipping into the folds of her skirt. Outside, no dawn came. This was the child's doing. He had brought darkness out of the forest with him. The urge to push him away, this thing that dared demand comfort, ached in her chest. She tripped over him as she turned to stoke the fire, and he stumbled back. "Get out," she said in a low voice. Emil, moping in the corner, looked up. "To go where?" "Silent, ignorant, useless, Emil." "I don't care. Take him to the village, leave him in the forest, drown him in the well. I don't care. Just take it away," she yelled. The child flinched away from her angry voice, and black satisfaction reared in her mind. She towered over him, small and helpless. Slowly, Emil rose, casting a reluctant glance toward her, and opened the door. Gray fingers of mist searched inside, making the fire hiss and spit. "Out," Emil said, more question than command. The child didn't move. Emil hesitated, then stepped forward. "Go." Unwilling to leave the fire's warmth, the child backed away, his blue eyes flicking nervously between them. Emil lunged, grabbed at his arm, but the child wrenched away. Then Emil had him in an iron grip. Helene felt rage simmering under Emil's skin, her own flaring in response. She knew Emil had realized what she had. He was small now, thin and breakable as a green sapling. Black fog rolled through the open door. The child whimpered. A soft plea for mercy, for gentleness, with no choice left but to cower. Helene blinked against the poisonous fumes. She was caught in a gloomy nightmare with a frightened child and a dark menace, and she didn't know anymore which she was. Emil suddenly spun on his heel and strode out the door, slamming it behind him so the pottery rattled on the shelves. The child slumped next to the fire, cradling his wrist stained red from Emil's grip. Helene fumbled with the latch, threw open the door, and stumbled through whirling mist to the outbuilding, where Emil was leaning against the wall, his face stretched and helpless. "Why did he have to come back?" Emil whispered, soft enough not to be heard. It was better. It was foolish," Helene thought. "A childish fancy. Foolish to think they'd ever be free of that oppressive, stretching hand. He would come crawling out of the grave to loom over them, to find what they'd done wrong in his absence, a dark king on his black throne. But for now, he was only a child. "We'll dig him up," she said, all in a breath, wrapping her arms around herself. Emil looked wide-eyed at her before he turned and shoved aside a stack of baskets and crates to reach the wall where the tools hung. Helene winced as they clattered across the floor. Emil took a wooden spade and handed her another before striding outside, the fog swallowing him. Frost crunched under their feet as they crossed the meadow, past the button trees standing limp and dejected, into the shadow of the forest. Mist slithered between the trees, choking like cold smoke, until Helene pulled Emil to a stop with her hand on his sleeve and tied their kerchiefs around their faces. Black shapes loomed out of the gray, each a figure full grown and strong. Then it was only a tree. But branches reached out like grasping hands, the forest groaning like an angry voice. She reached for Emil's hand and found it cold and shaking. He pulled her forward until they were almost running. His boot thudded against a root and he fell heavily, yanking Helene to her knees beside him. They lay on sagging black earth. Beside them was a small hole, the dirt scored as if something had clawed its way out. Another mound grew beside it, the ground groaning as it swelled. Emil, shaking mud from his hair, struggled to his feet and drove his spade into the wet soil beside a tall, gnarled tree. Helene's fingers ached at the impact of her spade against the earth. Fog slithered across the ground, watchful, listening to the crunch of spades and the sigh of shifting dirt. As they dug, roots began to choke the soil. Thin tendrils at first, easily cut, but growing thick and twisted, oozing black liquid that filled the air with the stench of decay. Helene's palms blistered and ached from chopping at the roots. Beside her, Emil drove at them wildly, splattering mud. At last, the soil gave way to putrid water, and they found Father, wrapped in the last rotting strips of blankets and linens. The lipless mouth gaped open, a black root thrust through it into the earth. The ribcage had burst open, a writhing mass of decay and slithering roots like entrails. Emil yanked his kerchief away from his mouth and fell to his knees, retching. Helene gripped his shoulder, but she couldn't look away. Father had taken root like a bitter weed, gripping the earth with slippery, black, stained fingers. His bones splintered when they tried to lift him out of the grave. Helene moaned in horror as slick ooze coated her hands. The pieces of him crumbled until, in desperation, she tossed her spade aside and grabbed at the muck with her hands. She spread her shawl on the ground, and piece by piece, they laid the body onto it. They sifted the dirt with their fingers, ripping unwilling roots from the soil. The roots protested, squirming and searching for a hold, and at the end of each was a fleshy bulb of ripening fruit. Helene knelt at the bottom of the grave, searching blindly through the wet and dark for each piece of him. She was wet with decay and mud, but desperation numbed her beyond horror. Above her, a spade crunched against the earth. When she struggled out of the hole, Emil was digging on the other side of the tree, back bent and frantic. There had never been much of mother in life. There was even less in death. A tight, shrunken ball of desiccated and brittle bones. Carefully, they added her to the pile, then collapsed to the ground, panting. "I'll take him far away," Emil said in a thin voice. His muddy clothes clung to him, his hands dark with mud to the wrists. "And what?" Helene asked. "Bury him to grow again?" 100 more could spring up where they left him. They would search every face they met anxiously for traces of him. "The shore, then," Emil said after a moment. A day's journey to the north, waves ground against a rocky shore, hungry to devour whatever it was fed. "And have him rain down on us?" Infinite black tendrils would surge up to cover their home, to grasp at her ankles. "We'll never be free," she whispered, resting her forehead on her knees. Helene had never mourned father, never grieved at his passing, but she wept now in the darkness and the stench of death, her sobs muffled by the trees. Emil's arm pulled her against him. A dirt-stained hand rested on her hair. Heads bent together, they sat. "Then we bring him home," Emil said when her shaking breaths slowed. "We make sure he never grows again." He was frowning into the forest, his jaw set in a determined line. Helene didn't want to stand, to haul the stinking pile of refuse back with her, and spend the rest of her days with rotting flesh and bones. Better to crawl into the open maw of earth and let it close around her. But Emil pulled her to her feet. He wrapped the remains in her shawl, heaved it over his shoulder, and led her back through the forest. Cold grass slithered against Helene's ankles as they crossed the meadow. Emil turned into the outbuilding and ducked under the low roof to the far end where the floor was cobbled smooth for threshing. He caught the heavy pot for boiling lye as he went and dragged it behind him, metal screeching against the stone floor. Then he dumped the remains with her shawl into the pot. "Fetch some wood," Emil said. "His ashes will be no different than his bones," Helene said tiredly. "The wind will spread them." "Then we don't let the wind have them." Emil left and came back with an armload of wood from the pile beside the house, coaxing it into a flame around the pot. The remains squealed and hissed Angry black tendrils searched for the edge. Helene snatched a heavy wooden board, so old and dried by the sun it had almost turned to stone, and heaved it over the mouth of the pot. Steam wisped around it. Red light glowed on Emile's face where he crouched on the other side of the pot, staring at the fire. "I didn't want to hurt him," he said quietly. "I was just angry." The smoke burned Helene's eyes. "I wanted to," she said. "I wanted him to be afraid, to hurt, so I didn't have to." Black roots had sprouted in her stomach, thrashing, searching for fertile ground to grow. Across the fire, Emile's worn face looked back at her. Father's shadow hovered around the edges of him, but he would always just be Emile. Steady, sturdy Emile. "I'm sorry," he said. "For what?" He thought a moment, then shrugged tiredly. The angry hissing in the pot quieted to a soft crackling, then fell silent, burning away to nothing but ashes and teeth. Helene lifted a clay jar down from one of the shelves, and when the pot had cooled, Emile held the jar, and Helene poured the ashes through her hands. Emile caught her hand as she reached for the stopper. "Wait." The muddy grave and the ashes still stained their hands. Wetting their kerchiefs in the cattle's water, they wiped themselves clean and shoved the rags into the jar, sealing it with wet clay. "Is it over?" Helene looked down at the warm jar in her hands. Emile was staring out of the low door toward the sky. A cold wind blew, tearing the mist away in shreds and leaving behind a black night studded with stars. Beyond the meadow, trees murmured in the wind. The earth sighed and slept again. A square of light glowed through the darkness. The door to the house stood open, and as they walked toward it, they found the child. Alone and frightened in the dark, he had wandered out to search for them. "What do we do with him?" Emile asked. Helene knelt in the cold grass. The child looked at her, uncertain and nervous, tender as a spring blossom. "We bring him home," she said, lightly touching the pale cheek of a face that was just as much hers and Emile's as it had been his. She stood and walked to the door, the jar clutched against her hip. The child's hand slid into hers, seeking and afraid, and now no longer afraid. She held it tightly.
Today's episode was written and narrated by R.E. Rule. Sound design, music, mixing, and production by Frank Narat. Special thanks to these patrons for helping keep the show alive: Lara, Scott, Brittany, Grace, Joe, Nathan, Amy, and Mike. Thank you. Please consider becoming a patron of the show. For just $1 per month, you help maintain the show and you receive exclusive access to Tiny Tales soundtracks. Visit tinytalespodcast.com and click on membership for details. Thanks for listening.